But what we're going to be thinking about, first of all, just in the introduction, is what steps are needed to improve, to get better at something. Bum? Okay, but let's start at the beginning, perhaps. Okay. It was, what would you say is step one? Okay, sort of, okay. So, admit that you need help, right? You've got to recognize that you're not very good at it or that you've got an issue, right? What's the next stage? I think before that. Well, good and... Well, I put, okay, because it's all very well admitting it, but then, okay, sorry, I thought there was, oh, right, yeah, okay, wanting to improve, I think is the next stage, isn't it? Because you can admit that you're sort of not very good at it, but you say, no, I actually don't want to improve, okay? So admit you need help and you want to improve, and then, as you saw, get some help. Well, that might be self-help, but it might be Googling, it might be getting advice, etc. So get some help. I think then we come to what Cindy helpfully said, put it into practice. Put it into practice. So if you like, those are steps for improving. But the question is, how do you know you've improved? So how would you know that you've improved? Okay, so other people will tell you? Okay, and you would perhaps tell yourself it's not causing you so much stress. And having shared in growth group, IT is an issue for Martin, but as it hopefully is going to cause less stress as we go forward. So yes, first of all, you perhaps see the improvement. And as Pat helpfully said, others see the improvement. No. So this morning, we are going to be starting our series on 1 John, and what we're going to be looking at is how can I be sure that I am forgiven? And we're going to be using a passage from 1 John 1, the end of 1 John 1, and the beginning of chapter 2. So it will be up on the screen in NIV version, NIV. If you want to follow it in your Bibles, please do. But we're going to read the passage from 1 John, beginning at verse 5. So John writes, "This is the message we have all heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." And then in chapter 2, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world." And the approach that I've taken is sort of similar to the growth group, in that on this theme of how can I be sure that I'm forgiven, I have focused really virtually totally just on the words of this passage and considered what or how we can be sure that we're forgiven, that I'm forgiven. Okay? So, what steps, instead of improving in Swedish, in diet, in IT, what steps are needed for me to be sure I am forgiven? So we're just going to focus on certain sections, briefly, of that passage as to the steps. Now, if you remember, the first step was that we needed to recognise that we weren't very good at something, that we need to improve. In verse 8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So the first challenge for each of us is that we need to recognise that we are sinful. I am sinful and need forgiveness. And that's tough. But I think all of us recognise that we fall short of even our own standards, let alone God's standards. But we recognise that we're sinful. And I'd encourage us to just be honest with ourselves. John said, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us if we claim to be without sin. But the second and linked step is, it's all very well admitting that you need to improve, but if you're got a situation, you've got to then actually say to yourself that I want to confess that I'm in need. So in verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins. So step 2, still with that situation, is that we need to confess our sins. It's all very well recognising that we've fallen short, but we then have to confess. We have to want to change. And that's tough, because it's basically us being prepared to say, no, I am not right. The truth, if you like, is not in me. And if we aren't prepared to do that, then we continue to deceive ourselves. And I wouldn't say we live in blissful ignorance, but we live in ignorance and short of what God had planned for us and has planned for us. So that's, if you like, steps 1 and 2 are quite linked. We need to recognise and confess. But we could just stop there saying, yeah, I'm not very good at something. Yeah, I'd like to improve, but I'm not going to do anything about it. That's a possibility. Right? But John goes on. If we look in verse 2 of chapter 2, we are pointed to the help that we can get. It says, he, Jesus that is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That word atoning is sort of quite tough. I sometimes think about it as atonement is at-one-ment. He removes both the penalty and also the barrier of sin. And lots of you have seen this before, but it's very simple. That's us, that's God. At the there is sin between us. We have fallen short. First of all, we need to be aware of that. Step 1. We then need to say we want it to be removed, but we need to understand that we cannot ourselves remove it. God has taken onto Jesus the burden of sin in order that we can have relationship with him. And we can be at one with him. And that's why I like that atonement, at-one-ment with him. So we need to recognize, we need to confess, we need to get help by, and the help is not something that we can do on our own, it's something that God has already done. He is the atoning sacrifice for sins. So the step three is that we need to believe that Jesus died in my place so I can be forgiven. Now all this, many of you have known for many years. But I'd encourage you to just look at it afresh and think, am I rejoicing in it, but am I living in the light of it? Because the fourth step is highlighted perhaps in the earlier part of the passage, where it talks about walking in the light. It's all very well recognizing and wanting help and accepting the gift of salvation through Jesus' death. That's, if you like, having the Saviour part. But we need to have the Lord part as well. We need to walk in the light. We need to put into practice a life of forgiveness. And that's where the rubber really hits the road, where the challenges are. We like the bits where we've been forgiven, but perhaps actually putting it into practice is more of a challenge. I wonder where you're at on that journey of the four steps, if you like. Are you still at step one and two, perhaps? Still investigating? Well, I'd encourage you to investigate further. Talk about Alpha. Make sure you've read this booklet. Find out what it is about. Perhaps you've accepted Jesus as your Saviour. Step three. You've asked for forgiveness and accepted the forgiveness in Christ's death for you. But maybe step four, and for all of us in one sense, it is a learning process, but step four is where you need to sort of actually put into practice a life of forgiveness. And I haven't called them steps five and six, but if you remember when we were talking about how we improve, I asked you, how could you be sure that you've improved? And people gave me the two answers I was hoping for. One, that you yourself will realise it, perhaps, that you'll get more capable on the IT and not have to keep looking up how to do things. And or others will encourage you, saying, hey, I've seen that you've got really good at that, or you're able to actually start talking to somebody in Swedish and them understanding you and saying, yeah, I can understand, you've really made progress. How can I be sure that I'm forgiven? Well, just two little passages from what we read, encourage me. In verse 9, it says, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's what I believe, that we will experience that if that we are prepared to trust the word of the Lord, that God has promised that he will forgive us, that he will give us his Holy Spirit, and that we will, if you like, be encouraged from within. I will know the peace that God's promised forgiveness brings. And I stress that word promised. There we have the promise of forgiveness. Are we building our own, if you like, self-understanding of our amazing forgiveness on knowing that his Spirit is within us? And finally, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, putting it into practice, we have fellowship with one another. And that just reminded me that others will recognize, they will affirm, they will encourage, they will see the change. And it's not because of what you've worked up within you, it's because of God's Holy Spirit at work within you. You see, God works from the inside out. A lot of other things try and work from the outside in, say, right, change this, do how you do this, etc., and you will perhaps feel better. Instead, God says, accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and accept my Holy Spirit working, the Holy Spirit working in you, and you will change from the inside out. Others will see changes that a life of forgiveness brings. And for a lot of us, those last two steps, if you like, are how we, yes, can be sure of forgiveness, but also how we act and work out a life of forgiveness. And the only verse that I was led to share at the end linked with this does not have the word forgiveness in it. Because what I was led to just land with is that how can we know and be sure of God's forgiveness if we see the fruit of the Spirit at work in us? It says in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, depending on version, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I reflected that forgiveness is not in there. But I think that actually almost forgiveness is the foundation, mixing metaphors or whatever, but is required in order to grow this fruit. If you are not allowing God's Spirit of forgiveness to work in you, then these fruit are likely to be limited or withered. So what I would encourage us, church, is, first of all, where are you at in the steps 1 to 4? Admitting, confessing, believing, putting into practice. If you're at step 4, are you putting into practice and really seeking to be full of God's Holy Spirit and his work of forgiveness in us, bringing forth the fruit? And are we encouraging one another when we see it? But also, are we independently and individually also recognizing that we have been forgiven and that it is having an impact on us and how we live out that life of forgiveness? I want us all to leave assured that God has offered forgiveness, and for those that have accepted, that they know that in that forgiveness, they can live a life of these wonderful fruit. But if you haven't, talk to somebody today about how you can know this forgiveness. Let's just finish with a short time of quiet. And then Liz is going to lead us in the final song. Father, thank you that you are the one who has given your Son that we might know life and that we might know forgiveness. We ask now that you would give us assurance, both individually, but also as we encourage one another, that we are forgiven because of what Jesus has done, but we're forgiven for a purpose, to live out that life of forgiveness. Amen.